Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Joining you here tonight, it's Ian.
And it's Bonnie.
And Aria. Of course, you can bring up absolutely anything you want to discuss here on broadcast, radio, and on podcast, and live streaming in video and audio form. And some parts of the world, we're on satellite. By the way, our satellite channel in the United States is going to go away this summer, so just another reminder about that. I sent out a notice a couple of months back when I decided to cancel the service. We just didn't have enough people supporting it to keep it going.
The LRN.FM satellite?
Yeah, over North America. That one's going to go away. We'll continue with Africa, so okay. Sub-Saharan Africa will continue. And my justification there is... We're closer to being able to afford the African satellite if we cut the American one, and more people in Africa still don't have the internet, so...
They're also much more oppressed there. I mean, the ideas of liberty could be much more meaningful, assuming they can, sure. Even translate what we're saying.
A fair number of them speak English. In these countries.
Someone in the United States or Canada or Mexico or whatever, they probably have the internet. They're not restricted from Googling what is libertarianism or what does it mean to be free, whereas someone in, we just mentioned Uganda can't even be gay. So how else?
You can be gay, you just can't let anybody know.
Okay.
You can't get caught being gay.
They'll throw the death penalty
or life imprisonment, for most of them.
So in what other ways would they be restricting one's free speech and one's rights ultimately my question.
And a lot of people in those countries have free-to-air satellite access, and that's where they'll find us there. So we are still on satellite in that case. You can go to freetalklive.com to learn more about the show and the stuff that we do. And also want to say a big thanks to the folks over at Dash. Free Talk Live and this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. It's digital cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Dash has some really cool features, including the Dash Direct app. Now, I have not had a chance to use Dash Direct because I'm not allowed to use cryptocurrency under my bail conditions, but Captain Kickass, or one of our weekend co-hosts, he is a big user of Dash Direct, and he was a user of Dash Direct prior to Dash becoming a sponsor because it's actually useful. It allows you to spend Dash at over 155,000 locations across the United States. This is a killer app because you actually get a discount. Now, each location has a different discount, so when you check the app, it'll show you what the discount level is. It could be as low as, 2% or something, but it's sometimes 4%, 5%, 6%. It's pretty common to have it in the 4% to 6% range, and some of them it's high as 7%, 8%, or even 9%. So it just depends on what the merchant is and what the discount they want to offer. You can go and get the Dash Direct app on your Apple or Android App Store and check it out because it works, and it works really well. It's a great excuse to actually spend your cryptocurrency. So Dash, by the way, is one of the oldest cryptos, and it's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get Dash. It's easy to use it. You can start by learning more at dash.org.
Oh, and they are now fixed to where you can use AnyPay with Dash.
Yes, you learned that this weekend, which is awesome.
It used to be even that my iPhone wouldn't let me use any Edge wallet to pay anyone with AnyPay. Mm-hmm. So the vendor has AnyPay. Edge wallet.
AnyPay is a merchant application where merchants have like a tablet or something at the front desk. And when you want to check out with crypto, they just punch the amount into AnyPay and it allows you to pay with multiple different cryptos that the company wants to accept.
Yep. And recently my phone has just not been letting me do any of it because for whatever reason they didn't update it for iOS.
There's
and
been
somehow
some bugs.
Dash actually got them to fix it all, and I've been able to use my iPhone to pay with Dash and different cryptocurrencies on AnyPay now.
Yep, that's
and Dash is so fast.
Yeah, that's part of the Dash decentralized autonomous organization.
And $0 fee. Like today, I actually tested. I was going to pay for some food, $12, and I was just like, can
this
I just
at Mighty
see?
Moose Mart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Keene, and I was just like, can I see how much the fee would be if I wanted to pay with Bitcoin? So I did that. I scanned the code for Bitcoin first, but didn't send it. It's going to be $3.40. And then for $12
food. Wow.
So then I went
to... That's like a 25% fee on a $12 meal.
Yeah.
Just give me a government tax at that point. Jesus.
And then God. I went to Dash to, you know, double check what it would be. It was $0 for a Dash. And it went through right away. Like, once I slid the button to send my money from my Edge wallet, in 1 second there was a paid thing popping up on the other phone's screen for AnyPay.
It's crazy. $3 something fee. And less than 1 cent. Well under 1 cent for the fee for Dash. Very cool stuff. So thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. We can talk about the Meta open source story. I know, Aria, you had that story. That's on the way coming up. But Sarah is on the line first up in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, I got put on so fast. Oh, I just want to say that today I went on to the zero, what is it, zero, on the website. It's supposed to be.
This conversation is going well, Sarah.
Zero Hedge?
Well, it's a.
You
it's
went on the website?
Like, wanting to zero pedestrians. We even have a separate city website
what?
For it.
Zero pedestrians?
Yeah,
what does that
let
even
me see what I can find.
Zero, yeah.
Zero pedestrians?
PhD.gov, division zero. Supposedly, we want to have zero pedestrian and bicycle fatality.
Oh, okay.
Is zero Mexican slang? I mean, no, new Mexican slang, excuse me, for, like, crack?
She finally said the rest of the sentence. They want to have zero fatalities.
Oh, okay.
So she went
yeah,
on that. She went
the
on the face tweet?
Actually, it kind of started in Sweden or something, in the Nordic countries. That's why they call it that. The Vision Zero.
Vision Zero. Okay, yeah, I just found it as she was started to say, because she didn't say Vision Zero at
no,
any other point.
She
just
said
now.
It at one point, yeah.
Oh.
Did she?
Well, I didn't hear it. It says, what is an acceptable number of traffic deaths for my family? Zero. Vision Zero is a data-driven, safe systems approach to create safer streets for all, whether walking, biking, driving, or taking transit, and regardless of age or ability.
Sarah's she's like this close to discovering like discussion boards and Reddit and stuff.
Mm.
Sarah, there are like forums and stuff out there on the internet that are filled with people just like you who just want to post and rant all day long about traffic fatalities and pedestrians and stuff. Go join some of these. I'm sure you can find it. r/pedestrians or whatever. Join one of these communities and just talk to these people all day, every day, like you want to do. Right?
I'm a little confused, though. Like, what exactly is it? What is a safe systems approach to create safer streets for all? Like, is it going to be signs on the side of the road telling people which way to go?
I scrolled down the page here. You're at City of Albuquerque's website.
Yep.
Is that right? So they've got some images here showing their vision. They want signs on the side of the road, like, slow down Albuquerque, speed limit 20 miles an hour, like just bandit signs in people's front yards.
But they already have signs?
They want more signs.
Speed limit signs.
Oh, they want you to put signs out in your front yard.
They're not at the proper sign-to-roadway ratio or whatever?
They just want more signs.
Well, they should investigate Las Vegas, because the way that they have these strips set up in Vegas, it forces traffic to drive slowly. It's a nightmare to drive down, but there are bridges constantly. You can constantly cross the street without having to actually walk into the street.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the overpasses or whatever.
That's the way this should all be designed, right? It should be designed that you can cross the street without literally walking where the death machine is. Well, I got to agree with Sarah on that.
Nope. They don't want to do it that way. They want to put people in jail easier. They have, on this website, it says safe speeds, automated speed enforcement.
Oh, you know Sarah loving this.
Yep.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, you know, that the director, you could only email them. They only want to respond by email because people that oppose the cameras or the vandalizing the camera, they don't want to hear from them in person. They'll hear from you in email. That's about the only way to.
So have you figured out how to send an email yet?
Well, we tried today on our tablet, but I think we did something wrong. So we'll get around how to send it out on email. We
all right.
Kind of
is this giving
around.
You some kind of like flashbacks to when you're an IT helper over the phone?
No, thankfully not. Now, all of my clients at least knew how to send
email.
An email so.
Thanks for the call, Sarah.
There are remedial computer classes out there, yeah. Sarah, probably at your local community college.
Yeah, absolutely. They're probably free.
Absolutely. Yeah. Probably not free.
I suspect there's some free ones, though.
Yeah, if you look around.
That's tailored designed for elderly people.
Maybe the senior center or something.
I would highly recommend you, because technology is important, Sarah. It drives the world, and it allows you to interact with the world. I know you got to use the computer to find it. But look around for one of these free computer classes that you might be able to find.
I'm surprised they're not actually proposing what you're talking about, Aria, with those crossovers that they have in Vegas.
I don't think the taxpayer should have to pay for it.
Because that's what I'm saying. They're going to be very expensive, and so some contractor would make a ton of money if they were hired to actually put those crossover walks, whatever the hell you call them, walking overpasses. So instead they're talking about well-marked and separated bike lanes, signalized crossings, meaning they'll put special crossing signals up at the crosswalk portions, not at just like the normal intersections, but wherever there happens to just be a random crosswalk in the middle of the road, they'll put signals up to stop cars, supposedly, and slower traffic speeds, they claim they're going to be putting in slower, quote, downtown safety zone speeds.
Yeah, I don't think any of that's going to matter.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to help much.
I would have disagreed with this even a week ago, but I'm starting to come around to the idea that we have surrendered too much public space to vehicles and traffic as it is, and that maybe there's a better way. Obviously, not top-down. The government shouldn't do anything about it. That goes without saying. The taxpayers shouldn't be on the hook for it, but it's not the most efficient way or an effective way to have people in a place.
I wish that it was just easier to just go and build your own city competing, because I would love to have like a... what is the Amsterdam type town in New Hampshire? I have specifically thought of Amsterdam because I think that it's a town, I mean, it's a city, but it looks so nice with the surrounding area, and New Hampshire needs a city like that. Like Manchester, ugly. If you tried to put a Las Vegas in, or you know, Las Vegas or any other big city that's kind of ugly in the middle of New Hampshire, kind of be a waste for the natural beauty. But Amsterdam keeps the natural beauty. There's not cars everywhere. There's people walking. But the thing is, you can't just go and buy a bunch of land and create your own city, because the government will try to kill you or something.
You're absolutely right. You should be able to. Because I imagine some enterprising individual out there, some creative individual, could design a beautiful city. Of course, then they wouldn't be able to pay for it and all that stuff. But, like, there's ways, right? That
I want to do it.
We could do this stuff.
I want to have my own New Hampshire megacity where there's karaoke bars and things like that. And there would just be no welfare. That's the thing. I think that cities would be totally fine if there was no welfare allowed. Like, if we didn't have, it was all owned, like, by businesses or boards, instead of, you know, there wasn't a corporation calling itself the City of Bonneville, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Then we wouldn't have to have welfare for people, homeless people on the side of the road. Not that I'm not trying to be so anti-homeless people. I know it's like a really sore subject right now with the internet. Like, that's like a big subject right now. People are like, we need to basically like kill homeless people for sport. I don't know if
ridiculous.
You guys have seen a lot of that.
But that said,
I saw someone make the... I know what you mean. I saw somebody make the point that Republicans consider everyone to the left of killing homeless for sport. And I've seen that phrase used here and there, but I don't know what was the catalyst of it or why it came about.
I don't really know what started it either, but I've been seeing it a lot recently. Like, around the same time that there's been this whole talk of, like, the subways in New York being really dangerous. People are talking about, like, just homeless crazy people just, like, congregating in cities. Well, that wouldn't really be a problem if we didn't allow welfare in our towns.
Well, I mean, homeless is an interesting discussion to have because, on one hand, they are definitely an eyesore. You know, if you're a business owner, you don't want to have some bum standing out in front of your front door trying to panhandle people, right? That's a real...
Right.
you know, negative if you're just trying to go shopping and some guy's hitting you up for his drug money. And so I get the reason why people don't want to have homeless people around. On the other hand, I also believe in compassion and you know, helping people that need help. It's one of the reasons why I contribute to the local privately run homeless shelter here in Keene. But it would be interesting to see how an actual free market where there were no public properties, because that's where the homeless people tend to coalesce around, right?
I want a place that would actually show the difference between the people who want to hand up and want to hand out. Like, if there was no handouts, but mm-hmm. you could easily go someplace if you genuinely needed help and find help to
right.
get on with your life and move up in this world, then the people who didn't want that and just wanted to be homeless on the side street and have, you know, a little bit of money for drugs and food that day, well, they would leave. You know, they'd be like, oh,
well,
I can't get what I want out of here.
Especially if you actually had all private property. And that's the thing that libertarians advocate for,
yeah.
is not having government property, so-called public property. Now, keep in mind, 7-Eleven is open to the public, but it's still a private store. So if they decide they don't want you there, they can say, you gotta leave.
But we probably would have some businesses, I think, that were offering places for homeless people to camp out.
Sure.
Like the, was it Hannaford's here in Keene mm-hmm. that did that? They allowed their wooded area behind them to be used by the...
It was the property owner, actually,
yeah.
of that shopping center.
And we could have that in a free, I don't want to say free, private city, because I'm not Mark Edge.
Yeah.
But we could have one of those in one of these cities that didn't have a government.
In a city in which private property rights were actually respected, wherein if somebody wants to have homeless people on their property, fine, let them have the homeless people there.
If you don't like it, don't shop there.
Right, and if the homeless people want to build a shanty in the woods that's, you know, completely a fire hazard, then let them do that. You don't need to have the government regulators come out there and force them to not have a shanty because it's not up to code. That actually happened here in Keene on the very property that you're talking about.
Well, that's ridiculous. If the property owners are allowing it, it should be allowed.
That's exactly the point I was going to make. If they build a shanty and they live in a shanty,
mm-hmm.
then they're no longer homeless, are they?
Right.
I mean, we laugh, yeah, and it's silly, but that's they have four walls and a roof over their heads. They are literally no longer homeless. What's the difference? That they don't have electricity? Amish don't have electricity, but some Amish don't have electricity, but wouldn't say that they're homeless.
Yep.
And so they have a property owner who's like, yeah, I'll let you build a house on my property, and their house just happened to be a shanty. What's the problem?
Yeah, again, it's the risk is to the people who are living in the shanty, and if they're willing to take that risk, then that's fine. It'll keep them warm during the wintertime. If it catches fire, well, that's, you know, that's one of the risks that you take living in.
At least it'll be easy to escape. I mean, it's just a shanty, right? Just kick the wall over.
Right. So, you know, I definitely do not want to live in a place like a Portland or a Seattle where you literally have crazy levels of homeless people just living on the downtown streets with tents, you know, tent city, drug city or whatever, just open heroin injecting. I mean, the videos that you can see online of these places are absolutely crazy.
I've never seen any, but it sounds horrifying. To say nothing of the malevolent architecture, right, of the park benches that aren't enough for someone to sleep on and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Look, I understand you don't want homeless people there, but you don't have to be evil, right? Just don't be evil.
Don't have public property.
Yeah, well, that solves the problem in that case, and I think it would be interesting to see how it worked out.
But if a property is supposedly public and owned by everyone, then yes, I think the spikes on benches or whatever they do are pretty ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
It's supposedly owned by the homeless people, but
yeah,
nope, you can't
true.
Sleep here. It's not true.
Now, you know, in a private property society, how would homeless people be treated? I think we'd see different approaches, right? Mm-hmm. Some people would not be very friendly and... You know, you're not allowed to be here, you got to get out, that kind of thing. And they likely would learn to not come back to that.
I think it's a little, like, jumping to a conclusion to even call that unfriendly. Maybe the homeless people are causing problems at this place and they don't want homeless people there. Maybe the homeless people aren't just somebody who is down on their luck. Maybe there's somebody who just is fine with being crazy on the side of the road, smoking cigarettes all day, not trying to get their life any better, not ever seeking help to get themselves better. I mean, I know people like
right.
this.
And it's difficult, even if they're not panhandling or asking for money outside of your business, right? Like, no one wants to walk past a homeless person, Right? There's no way to do that without feeling bad for them, unless you just don't feel bad for other people. But I've never walked past a homeless person that I didn't want to feel bad, that I didn't feel bad about. And I would rather not have to think about that homeless person. I know what that says about me, but it's the same for everyone, right? We know that there are homeless people, but that doesn't mean we want to walk past them to get into Walmart or the grocery store or whatever, because we don't need it thrown in our face, that amount of human suffering.
I think there's just a huge difference between people who are just like, listen, I really need help, and people who are sometimes posing as that. That's like even more terrible to me. I hate people who are posing as someone who really needs help, and really they're just a drug addict, person who doesn't mind having a low quality of life or having no dignity.
Yeah, like, some people just like that.
Yep. I mean, in Salt Lake City, there's the Salt Lake City Temple, and now they don't let anyone... No, I don't know if that's true, but I thought I had heard that they don't let anyone do this anymore, but a guy that I used to work with, he used to work at the Salt Lake City Temple doing some, I don't know, like maintenance or something, because he was a maintenance guy at my hotel. I think it was something like that. And he knew for a fact that these two guys that would panhandle right outside just to where the Salt Lake City Temple couldn't tell them to leave.
Right.
They would, every night they would go home in like their parked Mercedes and drive home.
I mean, it happens here in Keene.
That's a terrible kind of person. But then there's also like the people who are posing as someone who just needs help. Like their sign will say something like, I'm a single mom and I just need to get food for my kid. But really they just want to go buy crack cocaine or whatever.
Sure.
I have a lot more respect for the homeless people, I don't know how they live this way, but some of them just want to be homeless.
Some do.
I think of like Will Coley, who used to be on the show, his sister. He mentioned that she was one of these people. She just preferred being homeless. I couldn't live that way, but there's nothing wrong with that if that's the kind of life that person wants to live.
And if people want to give her money, because obviously she's going to need money in the world we live in to survive, then they want to and stuff. But it's another thing to just be like, well, it's public property. I can stand here if I want. I just don't think there should be public property where there's people who just choose to not work and pay for their own living to just be standing there, and we all have to deal with them.
I think you would see in a city that actually had all private property, you would likely see homeless people pushed to the periphery, which is, you know, where they belong.
The ones that actually need help would get help.
Well, right. If you're not obviously homeless, right, if you're a homeless person but you're looking for help, then you can walk to the place that is going to provide you with the help, whatever the center is or the voluntary organization is that provides that, and no one's going to question you. But if you're standing, like you said, smoking cigarette after cigarette, you know, doing some heroin out in the open, laying down against the bricks on the side of the building for hours, then somebody's going to figure out you don't belong there, right? So, like, there's the person who has some direction in their life, and then there's the person who's a total loser and they're hitting people up for money or whatever they're doing. They don't belong there. Those people are going to get moved along and they're going to be told to not come back. And if those people want to live on the outskirts of town where somebody doesn't care about that, then by all means, they should be able to do that. I think it'd be interesting to see how it all ended up panning out because, man, it's not just about not wanting to see the human suffering, but if you've ever been to like Manhattan or something and you walk by a homeless guy, sometimes it just smells like urine because they've just been peeing there out in the street, and it's just like, ugh, it's gross. There's more coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News update. On Memorial Day Monday, President Biden touted the deal reached with Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy to raise the nation's debt limit. He had a word in particular for left-wing progressives in his party who may not be in support of the bill as is.
Talk to me.
A bill needs to be passed in the next week to raise the debt ceiling, or lawmakers risk defaulting on the nation's debt. Reports indicate conservative lawmakers in the House and Senate may be making moves to delay votes on the bill. The legacy of former President Donald Trump certainly loomed large over the California Democratic Party's reorganizing convention over Memorial Day weekend. Trump was the backdrop for speeches and calls to action. The anti-Trump message and warnings were repeated in almost every corner of the LA gathering. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here, and you can bring up what you want. We got time for you. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian Bonney, Aria here tonight. You can join us online anytime over at freetalklive.com. And if you want to support the show, as Ricky apparently did, pointing it out to us earlier tonight, you can join us over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. You can sign up there to help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. It is a way for you to get behind the show for as little as $5 a month. We really appreciate the support. It helps us out, helps us spread the ideas of liberty. So if that's worth $5 a month to you, then you can help us and get some perks like access to the Amp Only podcast, which has the full radio show without any recorded ads. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com to get signed up there. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Major Payne is on the line in Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, guys. Yeah, this country has a long and sordid history of making hobos not only, you know, being unkind to them, but all through history, ever since they laid railroad tracks. There's been a hobo camp somewhere outside of town, you know, usually by the dump, so it's convenient for them to scrounge whatever they need.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just, you know, shunned from society, basically like a little bastard leopard society or something.
Yeah, it's sad. I don't know how to fix this sort of thing, but you're right. and I do it too. We all have a different way of looking at homeless people, that they're othered. And I don't know how to even begin to fix that. Even
well, everybody's
if I
got their own story, you know. Like some people are homeless because they are in a they had a bad run of luck and they couldn't pay their bills, but they want to get back on their feet quickly. Other people are like you said, like Will's sister, who they just like living without a house, and that's a totally different type of homeless person.
And
then there's the drug
day.
Addicts, right? That just are total losers and they have no money because they spend it all on drugs.
And back in the day, I don't know how far back Major Payne's talking about, but there wasn't any such thing as, like, taking care of your mental health. So there's probably a lot of people that were just
crazy
yep. that just
that's another category.
Can't take care of themselves. I mean, I know plenty of people that, not plenty of people, I can think of one person that is just crazy and letting their craziness overtake their life to where they just are like, yeah, I don't need to work or anything, but luckily she has a boyfriend that she lives with. I don't know what's going to happen to her if one day he gets tired of her S.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a new twist in this river. I think it was Obama shut down all the insane asylums, put them all on the streets.
Great.
They decided they shouldn't pay for them, but we all should, even though we all had been the whole time.
Yeah. I don't know. Those could be bad, too.
I don't know what to do about people who are just, like, crazy, right? Like,
it's really hard. Libertarianism does not apply. The non-aggression. This is one of the failures of the non-aggression principle. We've talked about this before. You know, it's a pretty good principle, and across the board, it pretty much works. But when it comes to someone who does not care about their own safety or the safety of others, then something has to be done about a person who's going to possibly
harm.
Why
would that not apply? Why would that mean the NAP isn't applying? The NAP is applying because you're stopping them from harming others.
But the problem comes in when they're trying to harm themselves. And if it's somebody that you care about, you know, somebody you care about is going and spiraling down into, you know, some sort of insanity or whatever, and you love them and you don't want them to, like, kill themselves or something, then you may have to use aggression against them to restrain them from killing themselves. And that's something that has happened. I've been involved in situations where this one guy across the street was completely crazy because he had not slept. And I was also crazy because of, not at the same time. But
would you call it a NAP violation if a really drunk person was going to walk off a cliff or a really drunk person was going to light themselves on fire because they were so drunk they didn't realize what they were doing and then you stopped them?
Yes,
but there's a difference between someone who's like imminently going to harm themselves and someone who's like just crazy and they have the potential to harm themselves or harm someone else.
There is a difference there, yeah.
Yeah, but the person you were talking about was imminently going to harm himself, so you stopped.
He could have. I mean, the guy that we stopped was absolutely going crazy.
And had
he
a gun.
Wasn't threatening anyone. He hadn't gotten to that point. There was no reason to believe he necessarily would, but he had a gun on his hip at the time. So
a person who's going crazy because he hasn't slept in a couple days and has a gun on his hip, I think that constitutes the ability to take the gun away from him because he could hurt someone else.
That is an aggressive move.
It's defensive. Yes,
that's like saying a preemptive strike against another country is defensive.
No, it's not because another country isn't necessarily haven't slept in 2 days and
the guy that's got his hand over the big red button is a psychopath and he doesn't care about other people's lives and he might just launch a nuke. We might as well with that. Therefore, we've justified now bombing his country to smithereens before he can bomb
us. No, because that's other people that aren't him. It absolutely justifies killing him. You think it doesn't justify just killing a politician if they're threatening to kill you? I think it's justified.
No, we're not talking about someone who's threatening to kill anybody here. Remember, we're talking about someone who has not made any threats whatsoever, but we know they're crazy and they have a weapon in their possession.
I am saying that I think it's defensive to before it happens because they aren't in their right mind.
We don't know they'll hurt anyone.
You don't know that they will, but are you going to just wait for it to happen?
Crazy. In which case, you just disarmed them without calls.
Yeah, and it's like a super drunk person that can't be accountable for their own actions.
I understand your point, but you're not. What you're talking about is defending an aggressive act, which is to say, using aggression to stop this person from having a gun. You're using force against them.
But you're not going to just make them not have a gun forever.
No, that's
when
true.
They sober up, when they get
they
sleep, they'll have it back.
But it still requires aggression to take the gun from them. Whether you think it's justified or not.
The question isn't if it's justified, it's if it's defense or not. And it could totally be defense.
That's a preemptive strike, Bonnie.
It could be justified aggression.
If they're in their own house and have and they're super crazy, haven't slept in a couple days, it's one thing. But this guy was like climbing on your roof, wasn't he?
He ended up doing that.
He's climbing on your roof with a gun. He's trespassing. He's crazy. I would take his gun and I wouldn't feel like I aggressed on him.
We took the gun from him before he started climbing on the roof.
But he was that crazy.
He was
that level of
crazy.
He was that out of his mind.
But it's still aggression. It's also
not
aggression.
It's not aggression to take a gun away from a 3-year-old, is
it? Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Absolutely it is. Anytime they can't
use force.
Anytime you use force against somebody, you're using
aggression. It's not using... No, that's absolutely not true. You can use force against somebody who is threatening you, and that's not aggression.
I'm talking about aggressive force. That's where you're starting it. Aggressive force is when you start it.
And you're saying that it's never okay to take a gun away from a 3-year-old.
I'm saying it absolutely is okay, and I'm saying this is where the non-aggression principle does not apply.
I think it absolutely applies. This person...
You're just bending the definition of aggression, then, in order to try to pretend like it's not applying here.
No, I'm not, because a little kid can't, like, make the decision themselves, a 3-year-old, to understand that, like, if I shoot somebody, it could kill them, unless they, like, have really good parents.
Okay.
That's one thing. Let's say a drunk 3-year-old. Like, absolutely no possible way that this person knows what they're doing. You can take the gun away from a drunk 3-year-old because they do not have the capacity to have ownership over their own actions in that moment. And they could
still
hurt
an
someone.
Aggressive act.
It's not aggressive because it's defensive. If they could hurt you...
The child has not, as you pointed out, the child has not actually done anything, and the crazy person had not done anything.
They're just walking around with a gun, swinging around in their baby hand, and they're drunk.
That's a really bad situation. You should stop
that. That's a horrifying
situation. You should stop that from happening, and that violates the non-aggression principle.
No, it doesn't.
And it's totally fine.
It doesn't violate the non-aggression principle for a 3-year-old to have that has a gun and is drunk to be disarmed.
Sure it does. In the
no,
same
it
way
doesn't.
That you would violate the non-aggression principle if you push somebody out of the way of a coming bus to stop them from getting hit by the bus. You saved their life, but you violated the non-aggression principle.
I don't actually think that's true either.
Okay, well, you don't understand what the definition of aggression is, or at least you're not agreeing with me and Aria as to what the definition is.
It's aggression to push someone out of the way, and they don't see that a van is coming?
Correct. That would be aggression. By
it would be aggression.
The idea is that your intentions don't matter. Like, what you're literally doing is you are literally putting your hands on them and physically moving them without their consent.
You're defending them.
You're presuming that they would appreciate that in the future, but you didn't have time to have a chat with them about whether or not you could do that. You just took it upon yourself to use force against another human being.
But using force isn't always aggression. The intention absolutely matters.
In the case of starting
it. When you move
Bonnie,
a box, you're using force.
But the difference between using force in defensive purposes and the and using it for other purposes where you try to start something, it's the aggressor who starts a thing.
But it's not harming the person to be pushed out of the way of the bus unless
you're... You might scrape them when they fall to the ground.
It might break their arm.
Yeah, it might.
You're the one presuming that.
You don't know what's going to happen when you use that level of force against somebody. You're just trying to save that person from getting hit by the bus.
But the way you're defining force is basically just any time you put action into the world.
That's what force is, yes.
So is it aggression every time I move that chair? No.
No, the chair doesn't have any...
Is it aggression any time I shake someone's hand when they're, you know, they didn't verbally give me the...
Yeah, that would be. If they didn't put their hand out...
Then you're
using
the word aggression wrong.
If somebody doesn't put their hand out and you went and you grabbed their hand, that's an aggressive act.
No, I didn't say that you went out and grabbed their hand. I said I didn't verbally get permission.
Well, there are ways to consent to something that aren't verbal.
Okay, what if somebody's facing away from you and you just tap their shoulder and say, hey, oh, hey, it's me. That's aggression? You touched their shoulder without asking them, and they didn't look, and you took it upon yourself to touch them, Ian.
Technically, that's an assault, yeah.
No, it's not.
If it's unwanted, then
I think the intentions are absolutely important in whether or not it's a assault. You would seriously think it was fine for the police to shoot somebody for tapping somebody else on the shoulder?
No, I don't think that would be fine at all. There has to be an appropriate response. So generally when you have somebody using an aggressive act against somebody, the only response that it's acceptable is that is concomitant with the force that was used. So if somebody taps you on the shoulder, they don't have the right to turn around and jack you in the face. Okay? That's just not an acceptable use of force in response. Not an acceptable defensive force.
It doesn't make that thing aggression. You have not convinced me that that's aggression.
It's not the level of aggression
yet.
As slugging somebody.
No, but you haven't convinced me that it's aggression at all to tap someone on the
personal space.
Shoulder. I don't think that violating someone's personal space
it's
is necessarily aggression. If somebody comes and stands next to me in a public place and I think that they smell bad, no, even if they don't smell bad, if somebody comes up and stands next to me in a public place and I don't like that person and I don't want them standing next to me, it's not aggression until I say, like, hey, dude, get out of the way. And then they're like, no, I'm standing right next to you. Yeah, that'd be aggression. But if they just walked up right next to me and didn't know I didn't like them, it's not aggression.
Well, standing next to you wouldn't be, but if they...
That's invading my personal space. That's what Ian said makes the other thing aggression.
Well, you literally touched them.
Okay, standing to where we're shoulder to shoulder, is that aggression? If there's a big
crowd of people.
Not if
you're in a concert or something like that. No, I think in that case there's an
acceptance. You're violating that person?
There's a social acceptance of being.
What if we're just in the park and there's a bunch of people together and someone comes up and stands next to you? Someone you don't like or want next to you, they don't know that. You haven't verbally told them that.
And
touching shoulder to shoulder is what I just said. That's touching you.
No, was it an accident or was it done on purpose?
They didn't know that you were not going to like it when you tapped them on the shoulder when you're facing the other way, so it could be an accident that you didn't like it.
But you should always have someone's consent before you touch them, right?
What's that, Major?
It sounds like a little kid's game. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I remember when my kids used to tease each other doing that kind of stuff.
I'm making it as simple as possible so we can define things.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think you should. We don't always do it, obviously, right? We assume that touching someone's shoulder or tapping them on the shoulder is such a minor aggression that they're not going to flip out and break our wrist for doing so. But yes, in an ideal society, you'd be like, excuse me, and get their attention without physically touching them. Because some people, I work with somebody, they hate being touched.
I understand
like,
that.
It's a complex for them, and it will send them running and crying and stuff. Right?
I understand that, and I've met people like that too that really don't like being touched. But I still would not ever define it as aggression, even if you didn't know that this was somebody who really doesn't like being touched, and you just saw them, you're like, touched them on the shoulder and said, hey, it's me. Hey, I just wanted to, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm just, like, thinking of why you would need to touch someone on the shoulder. Even if they really didn't like it, I wouldn't consider that aggression because you're not harming them. You're not taking anything from them.
I think touching someone without their consent is always going to be aggression.
What is taken from them?
Yeah.
What's taken from them?
Their bodily right to not be touched, to control who touches their body.
Okay, but so here's the definition of aggression for you, Bonnie, from the dictionary. Hold on, Major Payne, hold on. So definition of aggression is any offensive action, attack, or procedure, an inroad or encroachment. So while a touch on the shoulder certainly doesn't rise to the level of an attack.
Are you going to finish the definition?
That's definition two. That was the finished definition. It certainly does not rise to the level of an attack, and I don't think anyone would say that's an attack, but it is an encroachment upon that person's bodily self. And, you know, it's not a big deal when you just touch somebody on the shoulder for most people. You're probably not going to get somebody to hit you in response to that, but it is an encroachment upon that person.
I think anything somebody did to harm me for touching them on the shoulder back is the actual act of initiation of aggression. If I just see someone, didn't know they didn't like me.
I would say that would also be an aggression if you can't turn around and slug somebody for touching you. You know, I don't think that would be considered a defensive move.
I would say even if somebody just
touching
went, like,
on the shoulder does not require a defensive move.
If it doesn't require a defensive move, I don't see how it could possibly be aggression. Like,
but
if somebody even
knocking
just
your hand away, for example, like,
that
don't
would
touch me.
I would say that's the aggression there too.
No, I would say that's legitimate in that case.
Don't touch me. Moving my hand forcefully.
The amount of force or whatever, the amount of violence that is necessary to stop the unwelcome act from happening.
That's what's necessary. Right.
Is defense.
In this case, I don't think that there's really any defense against it because the person just tapped you. It's over. You can't do anything about it. Now, I didn't say somebody comes and leaves their hand on you. That's a lot weirder.
Well, it depends on how fast your reflexes are and how fast they're moving their hand, I guess. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you could absolutely knock it away.
I could catch somebody if I was paying attention, for sure.
So I don't know.
What else, Major?
Everybody on Earth would think you guys were the weird ones for that. But maybe. I know that's a
that's why libertarians are weird.
I'm not saying that that's logical. That's an appeal to most people thinking. But I don't. I'm just not going to agree that that's aggression.
Okay.
I'm definitely weird, so I'm not surprised to hear it.
And I know lots of people don't like that. That's why I personally wouldn't go and do that. But there's no circumstance on earth where that's aggression that needs to be defended against. And I think the person in the wrong would be the person who slapped my hand off.
I think your mistake is by thinking that all aggression needs to be defended against, and it doesn't.
Yeah,
most cases it does, but in
worst case scenario, if you are one of these people that's like triggered or whatever by someone touching you, knocking their hand away, it's like commiserate to the act, right? And I guess that's technically defense, but I don't think
that
anyone
would be an acceptable defense. That would be the only level of acceptable defense. It would be to brush the person away. And to turn around and to slug them would be an escalation.
And I don't think Ian or me or anyone would look at that situation and go, all right, well, this was a felonious assault.
No,
and
for sure not.
You called it an assault. That's why I...
That's the legal definition.
I said felonious assault as well.
It's the legal definition of a battery, actually, I think, technically, would be the term. But anyway, it depends on the jurisdiction. Major Payne, you've just been listening here. Go ahead.
Yeah, can we get back close to the original topic? We were talking about the homeless. You guys know what a shanty town is, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, you ever heard of a Hooverville?
Yes, it was
like
during Hoover, during the Great Depression and stuff.
During the when the banks all failed and everything went to hell in a handbasket, well the people that really got screwed, all of New York Central Park was a Hooverville, and all around Washington they built a Hooverville, and what it was the U.S. veterans from World War I had been promised a bonus for sticking out the whole hitch, right? Re-signing up or whatever, fighting to the end. And they'd never gotten a dime. And, the bottom had fell out of everything, and they're living in shacks by the river, and they don't own the river. And, and the way the banks are going right now, we might be having another Hooverville, but we'll call it Biden Holla.
One other thing I was thinking about in this concept of not having, public property is like, how does this work? Like, if we did have a city, and let's keep things simple and say it's just, 10 miles by 10 miles, it's just perfectly square, and everybody's bought their lots in perfect squares and whatever, and everything is privately owned. How do you get from person A's house to person B's house without literally trespassing on someone's private property?
Well, you would have to have people who allowed for people to walk on their property.
No, I think at least in like what the thing I was talking about, like if I made Bonnieville in New Hampshire, I think that somebody would need to own a large swath of that and be responsible for roads and sidewalks and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you'd have to create easements.
It would be private property or public property. It would be private property, but it would be bought and developed and maintained with the idea that people are allowed to use it. Either they had to pay, or there'd be some other more creative method for people to, or for the person who owns it to be reimbursed for the labor they put into the land there.
Yeah, it's hard to say how, there's been a lot of theory, right?
A bunch of,
theory about
square,
roads.
Campsites that everybody owns their own just wouldn't be able to work without people, cooperating together.
That's true as well. That such a situation would really never come up organically. It was just a random thought I had, and you both.
The businesses on the roads want customers, right? So they have the incentive to ensure that whatever thoroughfares are connecting these businesses together are going to be welcoming to people to transact and drive or walk on those places. And hopefully they'll be innovative and come up with ways that keep people safer, that would make people like Sarah happy at the same time, with also not doing crazy stupid stuff like arresting people for speeding or driving without a permit or anything like that. So I think it would be interesting to see the kind of innovation that the market would come up with, what kind of road types there would be or different types technologies that have never actually been tried, but people have talked about over the years with regard to
flying cars.
Yeah, that's another potential option. Absolutely.
That one seems like it would be almost certain if it wasn't for like the FAA and government regulation in general.
I've got two more things to say about the aggression conversation in the last 2 minutes.
Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. I appreciate it, man.
Two things have to come into play when we decide if it's aggression tapping somebody's shoulder. Two different things. One is common sense, and two is the fact that we are humans and we are animals, but we have a neocortex that it's the newest part of the brain. A lot of animals don't have it at all, reptiles, and it's what makes us human. And
dogs don't have a neocortex?
I don't remember. I don't know exactly if a dog does. I didn't look into every type brain type, but it's the newest out of human evolution. It's the newest part of the brain. That's why it's called the neocortex. It makes you human. We have the ability for higher thinking. That's what I said. I don't know.
Okay.
I know dogs have a pineal gland. I'm not sure if that's in...
But, I mean, some other animals have it.
Some other animals do. Reptiles don't. They just have, like, basically the amygdala.
Apparently, I'm just all saying, mammals have a neocortex.
That isn't what makes us humans.
Okay. Well, for whatever reason... We have the biggest ones, and we have access and the ability to it more than other animals do. I didn't know that every other animal had it, but I knew it's the newest in human evolution. It doesn't really matter about the brain type. What I'm trying to say is we're humans, and we have the only reason that we've risen above the other animals and kind of dominated them is because we have the ability for higher level thinking, and we have the ability for things like common sense to arrive. It's common sense that if I'm looking towards you and we're like, okay, the whole sex thing. Do we need to have a written contract between each other that we both consent?
I hope not, but that's the direction things are going.
It's common sense to know we're making out, where things are going from one thing to another, and it happens, and we have sex. It's you didn't have to have a written contract. Okay. I don't have to have a written contract that if you're in public and you're at Pork Fest and you're standing there and I walk up and tap you on the shoulder, that it was okay for it to not be aggression. We're human beings. We're civil enough to where if we're in public or I'm walking up and I reach out and go to shake your hand, I don't need a written contract between you saying it's okay first or else you're going to pop back at me. And I know that punching is going to be an escalation of violence, but I don't have to worry about that because we're not gorillas.
I don't think that you do.
But when you're making out with someone, you are already engaged in committing an act with them. Like, you are already doing a thing together.
That doesn't necessarily mean that person is okay with sex.
It doesn't necessarily mean they want sex, no, but it does sort of help you think that consent could be implied. But when you're out in public with someone, you're not engaging in any activity with them whatsoever.
Well, plus, we're also talking about what's acceptable socially. We're talking about what's acceptable socially. And it may be acceptable socially most of the time to touch somebody on the shoulder. But what if somebody comes up and cups your rear end in that case, right? It's just a touch. Out of time for tonight. The numbers, we'll tell you that tomorrow. Ari and I will be back probably with Mark tomorrow night online. In the meantime, you can join us over at freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.